You guys are starting to loosen up and have a little more fun. You're laughing more. You guys are doing way better than me because on the second or third day of a conference, I'm just like ready to implode, you know? And I just like got to start skipping meetings. So I kind of thought we have like maybe three people here today. And so I'm really proud of you for, you're pressing in. And that's cool. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am having an absolute, and I am not a drama queen, I am having the blast of my lifetime. I mean it. I mean, this is amazing what God is doing. And I hope I never get to the point where I am not in shock and awe over seeing these things that God does, because I mean, the things that God is doing that I'm seeing God do and hearing about in your lives is huge, huge stuff. Not little stuff. It's huge. I mean, you guys will never be the same again. It's going to change your life forever. So one of the things I wanted to do real quickly here is I really want to see what God's been doing here. I got something in me that loves to look at the fruit. I don't know, maybe it's that food thing, but I want to measure spiritual fruit. So if you got a physical healing since you came here, I want you to stand up. Physical healings. And do me a favor here. Do not stand up if you don't have one. You do not have to protect God's reputation. Okay? He's going to stay on the throne. Whether stay standing. Physical healing. Stay standing. All right. How about deliverance? Set free of something. Yep. Get up.
You know what I want you to explain?
Just a minute. I will. You're interrupting my celebration time here. It means that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, came and he undid something that the enemy has had you under the negative effects of. Come on, sister. You're getting up, aren't you? Yeah. That's why you needed to know. Set you free of something you've been under the control of. Your emotions have been controlled by it. The negative effects, possibly somebody's sin against you or something that happened to you. But you feel like God has come and broken the effect of that. And you're going to get out from under it and free. Now, there are a few more popping up. That's you. You're talking about me. All right. How about those of you who needed desperately a drink of living water? And Jesus Christ came and gave you a drink of living water. Those guys are pogoing. They get up and they bounce a couple times. That's how good it feels to get a drink. All right. How about a significant supernatural touch that I have not mentioned? Any significant supernatural touch of God that I have not mentioned? Can you get over it? Can you get over it? I mean, get on a box and blow a trumpet, somebody! That's a lot of fruit! Keep clapping. Yes, Lord. And he's not done yet. Don't feel bad if you didn't stand up. It's okay. It's okay. You're normal. It's all normal. It's all normal. Well, yes, there is a black box here. It's taped over with black tape, and several people have tripped over it. So you have to be careful when you come up here. All right. We're going to get going with a little bit of teaching, and we're going to bust into some more Holy Spirit stuff and see what else God wants to do. And I tell you guys, you know, don't ever let anybody tell you that it is not totally freeing and totally fun to be right in the middle of what God created you to do, doing what you're for in God's kingdom. I mean, we got to go there. We got to get free, and we got to go there because it's the most fun. You don't get tired. It's the most fruitful. It's the most satisfying thing. It's one of my other passions, is to see you become who God created you to be. Because everything else is going to be boring and lifeless. And it's just, it's so fun. And I want you to see, I want you to know how fulfilling it is. You lay your head on your pillow at night and you just go, God, that was a good day. Thank you. And you got to get there. You got to get to that place where you're functioning in the place that he created you to be, in the fullness of the gifts and what he's made you for, what he's always intended for you to be and do. And it's going to be knock down, drag out, just the time of your life. I mean, is there really any other option? No. I mean, it's just crazy fun. Oh, man. I'm having a hard time because I got too much adrenaline. And you know what? I stayed up. I'm like 44, which is kind of middle-aged. And he's going to start throwing tomatoes at me or something. Okay, so everybody who did that is over 44. All right, you just played your trump card. So I'm 44, and I used to stay up in college till 3-4 in the morning, and you know, just get up and at 7 and go to class and never miss a beat. And I can't do it anymore. I mean, I cannot do it. I stay up late like one night and takes me a whole week to recover. I stay up till like 2 a.m. because my roommates are crazy talkers. And I just get up in the morning and I'm just like, yeah, let's go. Come on, bring it on. And it's got to be supernatural. I don't know where it's come from. All right. We're going to talk today. If you didn't get the notes, there's still some more books. Marge is standing in the back with some booklets. Anybody need a book, she'll bring it to you if you just raise your hand. And we're going to start on page 3 of your notebook. Hopefully some of you brought it. Just keep your hand up. She'll come around to you for as long as you can. And then if you can't hold it up anymore, your neighbor can hold your arm up for you. Because I can hold my arm up for about like 2 seconds. We're going to talk about who is the Holy Spirit today. And we're going to go through quite a bit of scripture and also some really great stories of who the Holy Spirit is and how we've seen him come. And there's a good quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. And he wrote this: the third person is called, and he's talking about in the Trinity, the third person is called in technical language the Holy Ghost or Spirit of God. Do not be worried or surprised if you find it or him rather vague or more shadowy in your mind than the other two. I think there is a reason why that must be so. In the Christian life, you're not usually looking at him. He is always acting through you. If you think of the Father as something out there in front of you, and of the Son as someone standing at your side, helping you pray, trying to turn you into another son or daughter, then you have to think of the third person as something inside you or behind you. And so I like that just because it's very descriptive. Knowing the Holy Person, the Holy Spirit as a person, is really important. I got saved when I was 5. My sister has, I think, the gift of evangelism, and she was 7 and I was 5, and she used to chase me around the house, tell me I'm going to go to hell. And, you know, I got sick and tired of it. And so when I was finally 5 years old, I think she like pushed me down, you know, on my knees under my mother's ironing board in her bedroom. I remember us right there by the bed, and she led me to Jesus when I was 5. And she's a missionary in Ireland for the last 20 years, so that was her calling. And she started it with me. But I grew up in the church. I grew up in a denomination that was pretty conservative evangelical. But we were taught very little, I mentioned this yesterday, or nothing about the Holy Spirit. His name was in the Bible, but we didn't know why. And so one of the things that happened to me when I came to the Vineyard about 18 years ago was that people started to tell me for the first time in my life that the Holy Spirit was a person and that I was to have a friendship with him. And I had never, ever, ever, ever thought of that kind of a personal friendship or relationship. It was always about what do I need to do for God to be okay. And there was quite a bit of rules and stuff. But sometimes there's this gap between our theology of the Spirit and our practice. And I still see this today in people who have been in the Vineyard for a very, very long time. We believe what we believe with our head. We've heard it taught and we believe it. But there's this huge gap in between what we believe and what we do, what we practice. And I am coming more and more to the firm conviction that if you just want to talk about it, you need to shut up. You know, don't talk about it like you believe it if you're not going to do it, because then we lose authenticity, we lose the genuine, real value that God has called us to as a Vineyard. And so if you're going to say that you believe it, then I think you better do it. And you need to learn to close that gap in your life. And I've seen people who are wonderful, gifted Christians. In fact, a lot of people who are highly gifted fall on their gifts more than on the Spirit of God to do ministry. And they do a lot of ministry out of a lot of gifting and ability, and it's not necessarily Spirit-led. And I'm starting to pray for some of those people and see them fall on God's mercy and ask him to close that gap and bring the reality and the experience of the Holy Spirit right in front of their face so that they only do what the Father's doing. And they don't rely on what they know anymore, their knowledge. And so the question is, do you practically ignore the Father, not theologically, but practically? Because you are overlooking one third of who God is. If you embrace the Father and you embrace the Son, but you don't embrace who the Holy Spirit is and learn to move, practically speaking, walking it out in the power of the Holy Spirit, then there's one third, big fraction, of who God is that is totally absent from your life. And that's a very sad thing. You are being affected deeply by this lack of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about how that works in a little bit. I had a women's retreat in the fall in Duluth. We do pretty much two big things as in our women's ministry. One of them is a fall retreat where we go away farther in the woods than we already live. Like it's not enough to live in the woods, you know. And we have a wonderful time. And then we come here in the spring. And our fall retreat had a dear young woman in our church who I've known for 5 or more years, who's a leader in one of our ministries. And I taught on this. And she came up to me afterwards and just started to weep. And she said, "That's it. I'm missing one third of who God is. I have not experienced the Holy Spirit." And I think there's a lot of leaders in our churches, sadly. And I'll tell you, you cannot lead people there if you're not doing it. So sometimes we just have leadership meetings where we just talk about the Holy Spirit and we make everybody get up and say, you got no choice. If you want to be in this room and in this meeting as a leader in this church, you're going to have to receive the Holy Spirit. You have to learn how to do it. We'll help walk you through it, and we'll be patient with you because it's a process. But you need to go there because we're counting on you to keep your foot on that gas pedal in your ministry and lead people in this church there. And so I think it's kind of imperative. You got to draw a little bit of a hard line here. And if you're a senior pastor in your church and that's something that God's been calling you to, I'd like to pray for you because today at some point or tomorrow, because I think God might be calling you to go home and start to intercede over this, and you're going to be reaching out your right foot and pushing down that gas pedal because you have some input in your church. Don't do it if you don't have input in your church. But, you know, if you're in a place where God's called you to some senior leadership in your staff, then you can go back and you can say, this is God's heart for our church. I mean, this is who we are. This is the earmark. This is what God's, and you've heard this a lot already, you know, over the last couple days. But, you know, there's something in me that says, you know, you either, you know, if you're a Denny's restaurant, you got to use a Denny's menu. I don't want to drive into Denny's and get Burger King. And if you're a Vineyard Church and you got that on your sign, then you're welcoming the Holy Spirit back into the center of your church. That's what you offer. That's who you are. That's your birth certificate. You've heard it, your heritage. That's it. That's your DNA. And, you know, I know that God is calling some of us as women to start to pray and say what God's telling us to say about this. I mean, he did it with me, and so that's why I want to pray. That, not that you would go be obnoxious or anything like that, but, you know, God will do that for you. Our desire should be to get to know the Holy Spirit as a person and to develop this incredible, incredible love relationship with him. You know, we have to come to a place. I was talking to a gal today where, you know, and I went through the process, everybody does, where we actually just give our hearts over to this. And we press into it to the point that we press out and we push out and we ask God to break through all the fear. And, you know, receiving is not, you don't come out of the womb knowing how to receive the Holy Spirit. It's not that easy, you know. I mean, there's a world of reasons not to be able to just, you know, let him come. But you teach your heart how to receive. You get people to pray over your heart, and you have them speak to your heart and tell your heart to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I went through this. I wrote thesis papers on why it wasn't for today and got an A+ on it. It's hard to believe I was a good student, but when I was learning the wrong things, I was a good student. But no, I had to go through forgiving my professors who I paid really good money to that taught me the wrong things. And that was really hard because I trusted them. I believed them. But they didn't know. That wasn't their experience. They were teaching based on their limited experience of what they had seen. So, but you can go to the point where you actually tell your heart to receive, and you learn and you practice receiving. And you tell each other, let's just start praying for each other like crazy, and, you know, so we can learn to receive. And you just do it because you don't want to live without the presence of God. You can't. I mean, did you see the big basket of fruit? Can you guys live without that stuff? When we had everybody stand that's been healed or touched or delivered, can you guys that got delivered and set free live without that? You can't. You can't live without it. And so you must learn how to receive. And I know it's not easy. I know it's hard. But I'm just telling you, I'm just here to tell you, don't quit. Don't stop learning how to receive. I got to stick to my notes. So it happens when you, like, get a little adrenaline going. But he's our helper and our comforter. And, you know, we shouldn't treat him like electricity that we need to get a jolt once in a while. I don't like that, chasing the Holy Spirit stuff or going all over the country trying to get a fix. You know, it's like, who needs that when he's going to come to your house? Who needs that? Stop spending your money on that, chasing the Holy Spirit all over the world. It's like, just say, come, and he comes. It's pretty cheap. You know, but it's not a fix. It's not a jolt. It's not, that is not God's heart for you. If you're doing that, then you're overly focused on the manifestations, and you need to start to focus on the friendship, the love relationship, the heart-to-heart, the face-to-face. Who do you say I am? And, you know, the worship aspect of it. All right, the first point under knowing the Holy Spirit as a person is the Holy Spirit can be ignored. And this comes out of Acts 19, and I'm going to ask you to turn to that passage if you would. I'm not going to put all of these up for you. Acts 19, 1 through 7. Chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior provinces. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Remember yesterday? Something to believe, something to receive, right? "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied. "We don't know what you mean. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Then what baptism did you experience?" he asked. And they replied, "The baptism of John, that guy that's kooky out in the desert, standing in the river out there. John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from your sin and turn to God. John himself told people to believe in Jesus, the one that John said would come later. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in other tongues and prophesied." So there's a lot of things that maybe you've seen us do in the last few days here. A lot of it comes right out of this passage. We do everything in the Bible. We believe the Bible is, the Bible is, what did she say today? The Bible, if it's in the Bible, he means everything that's in the Bible. That's what she said. When people are converted to Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit, because Ephesians 1:13 says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if we ignore this part of our relationship with God, then our Christianity just sort of gets reduced down to a doctrinal creed. And that's all. It's just a mantra or something that we recite. And you know what? Sadly, this is exactly where most of the church exists. And as a result, then Jesus' bride sort of limps along, broken, because everything in God's kingdom flows through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's who he left with us when Jesus went back to the Father. But the church at large denies him. In fact, I find it fascinating to talk about supernatural and spiritual gifts, which are supernatural. Because they all flow through the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of the reason why we're not being freed to be who God created us to be and do what we're for is because we're not accessing the Holy Spirit enough to actually be set free to flow in those gifts. Because those gifts come out of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how he chooses that way for us to go around and be like Jesus. It's through those gifts, the gifts of healing and prophecy and deliverance. So that means for people to really be true to who God's called them to be and do what they're for, they need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come on them and move through them. And, you know, it's a pretty sad statistic that I heard taught a while ago, but really the only movements and the only denominations that are alive and growing are the ones that are marked by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Churches are dying at a rate of about 32%, I heard. That's a lot. Because there's no life. There's no life. Very, very sad news story that my husband and I, we have, maybe perhaps I shouldn't say that since it's on the tape, but we have a really good news in Duluth. And It's funny, the first time we went there, that when we first moved there, we were watching TV one night, and the headline story was that the chickens got out and were in the neighbor's yard. And then, right after the 30 minutes of news, this story came on called This Week in Mining. And it was all about, mining, and the camera was just going over these big piles of coal and ore and stuff up on the wherever I live, and I thought we were watching Saturday Night Live. I'm like, this cannot be the real news. So we're watching the news one night, and a story comes on about a church in our town, and the story was about an elderly congregation, about 10 pews on each side, the main auditorium, or I think they called it sanctuary. And there was some women in the church that were sitting in the basement, and they had found it and felt like it was God's heart for them to construct dummies. They had fabricated these life-size dummies, and they had different hair, some gentlemen, some women, some overalls, some suits and ties. They had named them all, and they sat them around the church in the pews. And it was to solve the problem that there were so few people in the church, because they were elderly and dying. The congregation was dying. And it was too echoey. It hurt. It was hard on their hearing. And so they had resorted to making dummies to put in the pews in the church. And it broke my heart. I couldn't believe it. And it was they were so happy with themselves that they had solved their problem of the echoing noise in church. And it's a real story. Churches are dying. They're dying because of the lack of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I spent so much of my life, 25 years of my life in the church. So it's no wonder I'm a little bit excited about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can be ignored. And I don't think that we always intentionally do that. But to some degree, there's some part of our heart sometimes that just kind of wants to push it out and go, I'm just going to let them go there. But just let me tell you one more time. You can't live without the touch of the Holy Spirit on your life, because it's the manifest presence of God. It's the reality of the person of God. The Holy Spirit can also be grieved. And now you can flip over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's the one who has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. To grieve means to cause sorrow or sadness or pain to the Holy Spirit. And the kinds of things that do that a lot of times are obvious, but more than that, our secret sins really grieve the Spirit of God. And you know what? It grieves the Spirit of God when we say one thing and do another, when there's hypocrisy, or when our marriages and our lives are absent of the Spirit of God, and our brokenness doesn't come under his healing power. And when there's bitterness in our life, which hurt and anger are not wrong, but if you don't do the right thing with them, they turn to bitterness and despair. And spirits of unforgiveness get in there, and then hostility gets attached to that, and on top of that gets clopped on some, anger and rage, and they all have the right to be there in your life because of that root of bitterness and unforgiveness. And if that is in your life, you will have a process of grieving the Holy Spirit. And, we just pay a huge price. He doesn't leave us. It's like he doesn't, take off forever. It's not like he ever leaves you. The Bible says he doesn't. You're sealed. But it does diminish his work in your life. It diminishes it to the point that you will pay a high price for this. There's a man in our church who has an injury from a work injury, severe back pain, 4 years almost all every day in bed and in a chair in his home. And we've had healing teams that go out and pray for him on a very regular basis. And for a couple of years, I felt like, we do this to a great degree when we want healing. We We ask God for healing, but we seldom say, God, what do you want? And, you know, God's taught me through having some chronic pain in my own life and asking for healing that I come before him a lot, you know, with my demands. But at what point do I say, Jesus, what do you want? What are you doing here? Why do I have to live with this chronic pain? Is there something else you want to do in my life? And I'd been feeling that and starting to pray it, and some of our intercessors were starting to pray it. And then probably a month ago, the healing teams were there, and it came up that he had a terrible, desperate relationship with his father, who was very cruel to him, very cruel to him. And his birthday had come, and he had sent him a careless little kid's card, almost satirically, and just really hurt him. And one of the members of the healing team said, do you hate your father? He didn't say anything for a long time. And then he goes, yeah, I hate my dad. In fact, I wish I could kill him. I mean, this is severe pain that he's had on his back, and 4 surgeries, and, you know, no healing, no amount of healing prayer has worked. And so they prayed about it, and then his wife came in and talked to me and said, God showed me a vision. His back is healed. His back isn't a problem. It's his heart. God wants to do something in his heart, and I don't know what to do. So we prayed together, and I gave her some, you know, go home and say this, and say this, and say, I want a Christ-centered marriage. I'm going to fight for a Christ-centered marriage. I'm going to fight for us to have relationships where Jesus Christ is the center of our lives. And, you know, I'm not going to stop until I see that happen in our lives, in our marriage. And ask him if he'll come and talk to us. And she went home. Sometimes you tell people to do stuff, and it's like takes them like 5 months to do it. You know, and she's like, oh, yeah, I remember that a long time ago. But she went home in 24 hours. She did it. And he called like the next day and asked to meet with my husband. And my husband met with him the next day and walked him through a healing process where he allowed the pain of what his dad had done to him to come up to his heart. And he gave that to Jesus and said, take that pain out of me. Put your supernatural forgiveness in me. And he began to get set free of that unforgiveness and bitterness. And he's in the middle of that process, and his pain is starting to lift. How about that? You know, there's something there. And it's just, it's a huge price that we pay, that unforgiveness. And I'm not saying that all pain is attached to that sin of unforgiveness. You can't say that. You can't go there. But when God says it is, then you got to go there. All right, so in every move of God, people had a deep conviction, and they became to the point where they hated their sin. Every powerful move of God, people start by repenting. And so I've learned that, and I think repentance is like your best friend. It's like you got to get super comfortable with it. You got to not be afraid to repent quickly and thoroughly. And, I mean, it has got to be super easy for you to just go, just fall on God's mercy and say, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And, you know, 2 guys going into the temple. I love that story in the Bible. One of them a pretty decent fellow. The other one a tax collector and, you know, a miserable fellow. And they go in, and one is like praying this wonderful prayer, the right kind of Christian words, blessed thoughts. The other one is like just goes in and he just casts himself on God's mercy and says, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that guy is right with me today. He's the one that's close to my heart. So there's something about that. There's something about that. With every move of God, people had a deep conviction. They hated their sin. They repented and they pursued holiness. And they dealt with their sins. And I think that when God is calling something sin, if you refuse to respond when the Spirit speaks, then you're pretty much eventually going to stop hearing his voice about it. I mean, he's just going to say whatever, you know. Well, I don't know what God says. I don't know if God says whatever, but Julia Pickrell says it a lot. I love her. She's my model. If God's voice is kind of like, if God is trying to speak to you about something, and it becomes an unwelcome intrusion in your life, then your mind is already made up that you're not going to do what God's telling you to do anyway. He's just going to quit talking to you. It doesn't matter. Even if you hear him, you're not going to do it anyway. He knows that. He knows your heart. And so you go into it predetermined that no matter what God points out, search my heart, oh God, see if there's any wicked way in me. You decide before he shows you what he wants to show you that you're going to repent quickly, fall on his mercy, and say, Holy Spirit, come, rescue me. You predetermine no matter what he tells you to do, you're going to do it because you're going to obey him. Then he is going to speak to you. You're going to hear him. But you can't have your mind already made up before. You have to have your mind made up. You're going to obey him no matter what he says. He knows when you don't have any intention of listening and obeying anyway. I mean, what do you do when someone doesn't listen to you? I'm just like, okay, see you later. There's like, for every person that doesn't want to receive input, there's 9 people that do. So you just go where God's going and do what he's doing. And usually we stop giving it. So it's important for us to long for this relationship with the Spirit of God and not just lust after power without his friendship, not repent of sin. We can grieve him because of stuff in our life that we just don't want to change. The Spirit can also be quenched. And this is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17-19. And I learned a lot just from looking at this verse even again recently. It's always be joyful, keep on praying, and no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. So I looked up, you know, in context, kept that verse in context, and looked at the different kinds of things from that passage that can quench the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I know that we might wonder, how can someone rejoice or be joyful all the time? Because it says always be joyful. And, you know, it's hard. You look at that at face value. I don't get that. Especially during painful or really difficult times. Or like that dark night of your soul. How can you be joyful? But really, joyfulness is different than happiness. Happiness is often based on external circumstances. You have a good day, you're happy. It's external circumstances. But joy is different. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy is something that comes internally, and it's about having a positive and a confident outlook on life. Like Julia said this morning, just don't stop being confident that Jesus makes it good in the end. You're putting your confidence in Jesus, and your outlook on life, despite your circumstances, is one of confidence that Jesus is going to make it right in the end. No matter what happens, at some point, you got to be able to just keep worshiping. You know, there's times in my life where I've just been asking God, God, I need this, I need this, I need this healing, I need this, I need... You know, and I just, sometimes I've actually had to pull over my car one time because God just hit me inside of a head with a 2x4. I didn't like it very much, but it was helpful. But I'm driving along, and I hear him say, I'm crying out to him, why won't you do this? Why won't you do this? Why, as I'm doing, as all I'm trying to do is serve you, as all I'm trying to do is prove that you heal. It's all I'm trying to, you know. And, like I can do him some favors, you know. How stupid is that? As I'm saying it, I'm just realizing it's kind of dumb. But anyway, I heard him say to me, he said, Brenda, but will you worship me? And I was like, oh, yeah, bud, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, no, Brenda, I said, will you worship me? If you never see another healing, will you still worship me? If nothing you ever ask for you get, am I still worthy of your praise? And it just busted me. I had to pull over. I was crying so hard, and I was just sobbing. I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
I will worship you. No matter what I see, no matter what I see in my circumstances, I will worship you. That is a confidence and a positive outlook that doesn't depend on anything going on out here. And that's different than happiness. We have to stop changing our minds about God every time that we have a disappointment. Can we just get over it? I mean, God tells me that all the time. Just get over it, Brenda. And it's not very compassionate sometimes, but I actually have signs in my office that say that, and I'm in counseling and stuff, so everybody, it's a joke kind of around church that if you go talk to Brenda, she's just going to tell you that, but it's not really true. It's not really true, but he does say that to me, and so sometimes I say it to people. But, you know, to be truthful, the Bible says that there is a difference between someone who is mature and immature, and this is what it is. If you belong to Christ, then he wants you to be filled with gratitude even when the going gets rough. That's true. He does. And if we're not, and if we're always changing our minds about God and his goodness, then the Spirit is going to be quenched in our lives. So there's something here. We got to look at this. We got to say the Bible means what it says. And it says that do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying. Keep confident. No matter what you see, no matter what happens, God's will for you who belong to Jesus is to be grateful. Because someday you're going to be able to look back and go, thank you, God, I went through that. There's no other way. There's no other way I'd have the character that I have today. And I got some desperate stories that I could tell you about that work. I've been turned inside out by betrayal from best friends, having to go through times that were the most devastating thing I went through for the last 10 years. And, you know, just coming before the Father, wailing in my living room loudly and making exchanges, supernatural exchanges, saying, take this hurt and anger from me and put supernatural forgiveness in me. And I am not going to change my mind about you, Lord Jesus, because I don't want to. I believe you're a good God. And when I look back at those times that were so desperate, I wouldn't trade them for nothing. There's no way I could be who I am today without them. I mean, God knows what it's going to take for me to get where he wants me to be. And so I just got to stop arguing with him about it. The Holy Spirit can be pleased. This is fun stuff. I love this verse in Galatians 6. Galatians 6. It's kind of a good verse to highlight in your Bible or underline a bunch of times or something. But Galatians 6, 7 through 9. So don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. This is like one of my favorite passages. It's a great passage for those of you who are helping people through counsel and prayer, and maybe that's part of your ministry. You know, here's the bottom line. We get what we want by what we've sown. You want the things of the Spirit, then you have to sow seeds to the Spirit. And if you sow seeds to the flesh, it's going to reap a whole bunch of bad fruit in your life. So you know if something is of the Spirit by the fruit. And those of you who are doubting if some of what you've seen is God, you have to talk to somebody who has the fruit of what God did in their life. The people who got delivered and healed from taking a risk and letting the Holy Spirit come, you hear their story and you see the fruit of it in their life and how it's changed them forever, and then you know that's God. That's the Spirit of God. That's not the flesh. That's the God. That's God because of the fruit. God smiles on us, and he backs us up, and he honors, and he loves us, and he helps us
when we make choices that honor Jesus Christ and when we sow seeds to the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is pleased by our lives when we allow him to come and change us. When we allow him to come and change us. You know, he's always inviting us into an interactive friendship. And, you know, I have the privilege of working with a lot of young leaders in our church. And I was counseling with one of our, a lot of the young guys sometimes will just pop their head in my office and sit down, plop down on my chair and, you know, say, this is bugging me or whatever. And we'll just chat. And I coach some of our staff and dealing with a young leader who serves in one of our ministries. And it's just, you know, everything's fresh. Just came to the Lord last spring, and it's coming up on 1 year kind of anniversary of walking with the Lord. And he's, you know, learning all the things of Spirit and going through a rough patch in his life. You know, lost his girlfriend for a little bit and just feeling like devastated and struggling with a lot of insecurity and things. And job just was like 20 miles away. Bank account was empty. You know, every part of his life was just messed up. And, you know, he was really frustrated at God. So I started to just talk to him and press in a little bit about, you know, his relationship with God and how do you feel about God. And on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how close do you feel God is to you? And do you hear him? And how would you rate your personal relationship with God? And how intimate is it? And, you know, and it was pretty low on the scale. And so we started to just interact a little bit more. And during some meetings and some healing services that we do and stuff, I would always try to get a chance to pray for him over a period of a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden, God gave a word about repentance, that there was just some rebellion towards this earthly father that was being affecting his relationship with his heavenly father. And I just said, you know, you just need to get before God and repent. And I think he's going to come crashing in and rescue you. And yeah, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, it sounds kind of weird. And so he went home the next day and started to get mad at God, which is a good way to get to God if you need to do that. He doesn't really care if you just go do it before him at his feet, and, you know, like, here's my junk, God. And, you know, just say, I'm really upset about this. But he made it Godward. Instead of just going for a walk in the park with himself and thinking about it, he actually made it Godward. Godward thinking does something. It changes things in our life. And so as he did that, all of a sudden the repentance just came up on him. And he just started to repent and repent and repent of rebellion. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just came like crashing in on him and said, I love you, I love you. You know, and he just like, all of a sudden it was like so real. His voice was loud for the first time. He's like, oh my gosh, the Father's speaking to me. And they started to have this conversation, and it was so cool because he was having a relationship with his Father like for the first time. And within 2 days, he got a new job. His car that was totally broken down, and they said it was going to cost $600, costed $50, and he was back on the road. He got, like, benefits from his job. His girlfriend said, wow, you're pretty cute. You're really, like, you're going to follow Jesus with or without me, aren't you? I'm kind of interested. Let's hook up, you know? And it was like God's pleasure. God just smiled on every part of his life. God wants to bless. And we can please the Holy Spirit. And when we do, then a lot of times it allows him to come and change all the circumstances in our life. All right, real quickly, last point, and then we're off to prayer. Deepening our understanding of the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds like a really long point, but it's not. No, really deep for another half an hour. It's important for us to get past the hype and the emotionalism that some people attach to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, it just goes with the territory. You just got to get over it, okay? You just got to, like, I know it's hard, but it's like, holy cow, is God of the universe going to come and touch your life without you seeing something or shaking a little or laughing or crying. Or I mean, like, it's just not going to happen. Well, sometimes it does happen that way. And, you know, God bless those of you who don't have any kind of manifestation. That's fine. But, you know, at some point, we just got to get past the hype and the emotionalism and, you know, not get excited about it and not get upset about it. And if you are a person who's just riding the surface wave of the Holy Spirit stuff, then, you know, that's quenching him. So don't do that. But it's important for us to, at some point, I talked to a couple gals today who said, you know, there's some fear in me. And I just want to say something about that because I went through that big time. And I, you know, grew up in that conservative church and stuff, and I had some Klingons that I didn't know I had, and I didn't want them. And one day that I was in the vineyard a long time, probably 6 years, and I loved the things of the Spirit and was moving in the things of the Spirit, and I was watching this woman come, and she was speaking, and it's all she was doing was telling her testimony. And the power of God and the Spirit was on her so much that, you know, she could hardly stand up. And she was, like, doing this, and finally someone came up and was holding her up. And she kept telling her story about what God had done. She'd been, it was an incredible story, a miracle. And I'm watching it, and this one part of my heart is just, like, getting ticked off. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, come on. The lady can't even stand up. I'm like, get her off of the stage or what? I'm not kidding. These things are going through my mind, and I'm thinking rightfully so. And then the other part of my heart was like, the fear of God. It was like, oh, God, that is you. And there's no doubt in my mind that you are all over this lady's life. I mean, you've healed her of all these physical things, and you know, and so I went up to her afterwards, and it was a real tension going on in my spirit. I really weird, you know. And I said, I am so offended by you, but I want what you have. Oh, it's funny. And as I was saying, she goes, oh. I mean, she was so matter-of-fact about it. Like, no big deal, happens every day. She's like, oh. You just got a spirit of religion or legalism. Want to get rid of it? And I'm just standing there and I'm like, yeah. And so she just put her hand on my head and she just broke the power of that religious spirit and any legalism that was left from my upbringing in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I went like that, and these loud cries just came out of me, and I wept and wept and wept and wept. And I have never been offended by the Holy Spirit since. So sometimes there's something there. Did I want it? No. Did I know I have it? No. It was, you know, it was just something in me that opposed the Holy Spirit enough to just keep him marginalized in my life. And so, you know, at some point, gals, and I think today, God wants to break some of that off of you. And you can recognize it by a couple of things. Too much fear of the Holy Spirit, any offense at all, and an upbringing in any kind of a church that was pushing Jesus Christ out. Or, I mean, I'm not sorry, Jesus Christ out. I mean, they're saved, okay. But the Holy Spirit out. Pushing the Holy Spirit out of the church. Okay, so we'll pray about that today. I'm excited about that. It's not enough for us to desire his power, but not his friendship. Gotta go into that place of friendship. And then last, it is important for us to know the Holy Spirit as our helper. We shouldn't try to do much ministry without him. You don't want to be trying to cast out demons or heal the sick without him. So, you know, he's our helper. It's him that comes and does it through us. And the Holy Spirit helps us so much if we let him, so much if we give our hearts over to him. The Holy Spirit is parakletos. This is the Greek word, which means he is our God who comes alongside of us and walks with us for the rest of our life until heaven. He's our God.
who comes alongside. Why wouldn't you want that? That's what we all need. All right. Bless your hearts for coming today. Let's put down our things and stand up. Christy and Jackie, and you want to come up? Now, I want to just say this. I know I made a few appointments with some of you to pray over a couple things, and I really intend to do that. In fact, I apologize. There's somebody here that I said, go to the bookstore and I will come pray for you, and then I went to lunch yesterday. I don't know who you are, but honey, I am so sorry I did that to you. I am a bad pastor. I don't know why. I just get distracted, a little ADHD or something, but I know I sent you there and I said I was going to come and pray for your high cholesterol. But here's the thing, you know, you guys, there's lots of opportunities for ministry. So if God puts his finger on something and doesn't get to it at the moment, then you just come back up the next time we're offering ministry and say, God started something and I want him to continue it. I mean, I was, you know, sent to the bookstore and the prayer didn't come. So can you pray for high cholesterol? And God have mercy on us. And so, you know, you don't have to, it's not like you lose the moment. In fact, it's your responsibility. You're responsible for your own spiritual growth. Did you know that? I'm not, nobody, your pastor's not. You're responsible for your own spiritual growth. So you go after it. When God puts his finger on something, you got to go back sometimes 100 times and get prayer for that thing. All right? So you do that. You press into it and you say, come more, Lord. Come again, Lord, about the same thing. So it's not like, oh, I wish I would have been there for that word. That was for me and I wasn't there. I messed up. I missed it. That's a bunch of baloney, okay? So let me just get that behind us. What we're going to do is just ask him to come. And I'm going to ask you just to, you know, it helps if your body posture says receive. This is just like God, you know, or this is like a kid coming to dad. Can I have the car keys, please? What do? They put out their hand, right? Because they expect to receive something. So that's why we do that. There's no other reason. It's not a corny thing. It's just practical. Says to God, I want you. Come, Holy Spirit. We love that you're here. We love what you're doing. We applaud you. We welcome you. We need you. We need more of you. We need all that you have for us. I'm going to be quiet for a minute. Quiet time is good. That's God's time. I'm going to ask you if you feel some fear to start to make an exchange, a supernatural exchange with God, and say, God, would you come and take that from me right now? I'm going to give it to you. Would you come and take that fear, Lord? I'm sick of it. Just let him take it. You got to just sort of let it go, and then he'll do the rest. Say, I can trust you, God. I know I can trust you. You only have good and perfect gifts for me. Here it comes. Say, let him come, hon. Let him come.
okay, don't worry about being loud or crying, just because it's cool. It's okay, just let it come. You feel those, you feel that something's happening, you just let it come, just you and God here. It's between you and God, nobody else matters. That's the Lord. Let them come, girls. God bless you. I'm going to pray for those of you who feel offended, or like you might have something in the area of religion or legalism. Would you just stretch out your hands?